Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Program here. You can join us. You can bring up anything you want to talk about. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight, it's Ian and Aria. Coming up, we will get to the story that we teased last night about Chase Bank targeting Bitcoin users. Because I definitely want to hear about that. I do not know anything about this. Aria has that one. But there's a lot in the news right now about Russia pulling out, allegedly, from some sort of nuclear proliferation treaty called START. And according to the... And you have to be careful how you read these headlines and how you take in this news, because the technical terminology is suspend. So, like, yeah. On Drudge Report right now, there's a big picture of a missile shooting, and then...
Of course there is. Fear sells, yeah, man.
Yeah, and
if there's anything COVID-19 taught us, is that people eat fear whole.
Sure
they
do.
Love it.
Yeah, and that's, of course, the government needs to have people in a fearful state, because if you are in a fearful state, then they expect you're going to look to them to protect you. And they
yeah.
You know, if people aren't afraid of something, some sort of boogeyman, whether it be terrorism or Russian missiles.
Or free staters.
Or COVID or free staters or whatever, there has to be some sort of big bad guy for them to be afraid of. And so right underneath the picture of the missile launching, it says, Putin suspends nuke treaty, warns of global war. How far will he go? So, of course, I didn't want to rely on the Western media to report on this particular topic. So I went straight to the Russian media, which, of course, is state-controlled, just to get their perspective on it.
Yeah, but if you're going to get lies from the government, at least... Russia Today is honest about it?
Actually, I'm not going to Russia Today in this case. I'm using TASS, which is the Russian news agency, TASS.com. Because a lot of times, like, I'll go to RT, and they won't always have, like, the straight report, or not the, like, the translation of whatever Putin's speech was.
Okay.
And you can usually get that from, like, directly from the Kremlin or whatever. In this case, I did not read the translation of his speech. It's over almost 2 hours long. It's like an hour and a half or hour and 45 minutes long. So
that's pretty extensive.
He tends to be pretty long-winded when he gives speeches, as many politicians tend
to do. Yeah,
but
2 hours? Good Lord.
It's a long speech.
That's a dissertation.
But they do have a summary here from the Russian news agency TASS. And I just want to share just the beginning portion, because it has to do with
I'm still hung up on an hour 45 minutes, because, you know, I've given speeches
in front of the audience.
Yeah. And I know how difficult it is to give, you know, a 30-minute speech. But if
right.
you're speaking for an hour and a half to 2 hours, you're not reciting a memorized speech. You're speaking from the heart about something that you
maybe.
Genuinely believe at that point.
I mean, it could have been a teleprompter. I don't know.
Okay. Fair point. I forgot about I did. Like, I'm not being sarcastic. I did temporarily forget about the existence of teleprompters.
That does change things. To be fair, I am looking at an image of the auditorium in which the speech was given, and there does not appear to be a teleprompter in front of him.
Okay.
But I haven't watched the actual speech.
I mean, it's certainly not impossible. You know, you give me a subject that I'm passionate about, and I can easily talk for 2 hours about it.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I'm not going to... Almost no one can memorize and recite a two-hour-long speech like that.
No way. Yeah. So anyway, here's the kind of brief summary of what went on. They say here at TASS, Russia suspends its participation in New START, the last major remaining nuclear arms control treaty with the United States. President Vladimir Putin said in his State of the Nation address to the Federal Assembly on Tuesday, according to him, Moscow is not withdrawing from the treaty, but will return to its implementation as soon as it understands how nuclear arsenals of the United Kingdom and France will be taken into account.
So they're quote unquote suspending participation temporarily is
based on something that isn't new information, though. New START. That's how long has this treaty been in effect? Does it say?
I think it gets into it. It was, I believe, and maybe it's not in this story, but it was the Obama administration. And then there was a previous START prior to that. That was, I think, in the early 90s. Actually, it was right before the fall of the Soviet Union. They entered into one.
But it's not so new that they'd be like, oh, you know, this is a new issue that didn't exist 6 months ago or whatever. They could have, this issue with the United Kingdom and France's nuclear arms existed 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's not clear what exactly the confusion is, but that's what they're saying. Apart from that, Russia will prepare for possible nuclear tests, but will not be the first one to conduct them. In his address, which lasted an hour and 45 minutes, the president brought up such issues as the special military operation, criticized the Western states' policy, and announced a number of new social and economic measures, including the creation of a special fund for supporting veterans of combat actions and education reform. So we're not going to cover all of that stuff here.
What would the additional point of testing nuclear arms be? I mean, to see how much more devastating and damaging and destructive they could get?
If you understand
how the concept works and you have detonated successful ones in the past, I don't understand what could possibly be gained by detonating another.
Yeah, it's maybe they just want to test the supply, make sure they're still working.
Which, you know,
I don't know.
Could be good, but like these materials are supposed to have half-lives of like 5,000 years and stuff.
Well, so I think that's why they do underwater testing, right?
Do they do it in water testing?
I believe that's a thing.
Okay. Well, that's at least safer, it seems like. I mean, it's probably not doing much for the fish, yeah.
In the wake of NATO's recent statements, Russia is forced to suspend its participation in the nuclear pact. Quote, I repeat, this is from Putin, Russia is not withdrawing from the treaty, no, but merely suspending its participation, said the president. Russia will return to the treaty as soon as it understands how the arsenals of not only the U.S., but also other nuclear powers of NATO will be taken into account.
Wait, I don't think that's how treaties work. I don't think, like, if you go back in time to the medieval kingdoms and they have a treaty not to attack one another, or like Britain and France. France just can't go, okay, we're suspending the treaties for a few days. Attack them, guys. And okay, we're back. Treaty's back in effect now. It doesn't work that way, man. If you suspend it and you take actions that are counter to that treaty, then
the
treaty's null.
The actions will be taken counter to it.
I know, but I don't think you can just say, well, this treaty is not valid anymore, and
it's not valid because of something that NATO said. Now, it's not clear what that is here, and as I said, I didn't read the translation of the speech. The Russian Defense Ministry and State Nuclear Energy Corporation, Rosatom, should prepare for nuclear tests if needed, but Moscow will not be the first one to conduct them, which means that if it is revealed that the United States is doing nuclear tests, then Russia will go ahead and do their own nuclear tests. But until that time, Russia will not conduct the nuclear tests.
I mean, that's fine. The United States isn't doing nuclear tests anymore.
We hope.
I mean, no, because they moved on to biological weapons and chemical weapons and other things like that that won't leave lasting damage to the surrounding environment. Nuclear weapons, they're great for a show, and they were great for their purpose in World War II, but it's so much more effective to just have some sort of germ or biological agent that wipes out. And we know the United States government does this. Agent Orange, they were all over it during the Vietnam War. They didn't stop.
COVID?
Yeah, well, probably.
Yeah.
But they certainly didn't stop doing their weapon research for chemical and biological weapons after Vietnam.
Well, I mean, I see what you're saying. The biological weapons could certainly be more devastating if they're effective and, you know, are catching and killing people. But a nuclear weapon is still quite devastating,
right? Oh, without
a
doubt, yeah.
It's going to destroy a lot of life, yeah. Russia launched its special military operation, which is what they call the Ukraine conflict in Russia, in order to protect people on its historic lands and eliminating a threat coming from Ukraine. Moscow made every effort for a peaceful settlement, says the state news agency, but a, quote, completely different scenario, unquote, was plotted behind its back, and the Western states involved in the talks play, quote, with loaded dice, unquote. The responsibility for current events lies with the West, which is trying to pull away from Russia the historic territories which are called Ukraine today. It was them, the West, who unleashed the war, and we were and are using force to stop it, said the president.
That's such a weird way of looking at it. But, I mean, obviously that's their perspective, and I can't say their perspective is factually incorrect. That's not the way I view things. That's not the way I interpret the facts, but certainly.
I mean,
that's a valid...
How do you interpret it if, again, from their perspective, Ukraine was bombing the Donbass, which had voted in 2014 to leave Ukraine, and Ukraine didn't acknowledge their vote at the time, and then just started attacking them, apparently, for 7 years until finally Russia decided to come to their defense. So Russia didn't see it as an invasion as much of a, we're trying to defend these people who wanted independence from the tyrants in Ukraine.
Right. Yeah, I'm not saying they're clearly not factually incorrect. That's one interpretation of events, and, you know,
it's legitimate.
Everyone's going to pick the interpretation they prefer, including Vladimir Putin, and that's just how it is. Everyone's got a different perspective on this, and that most Americans can't come to terms with that basic reality. We all think of ourselves as the good guy. The United States is the good guy, and Russia's the evil guy. Well, yeah, okay, maybe, but from their point of view, they're the good guys, and we're the evil guys. And they can't separate from their own egos enough to recognize that reality and to even recognize the validity of that viewpoint. The, hey, but I understand. In your world, I'm the bad guy.
Well, just remember, it's not we who are the bad guys. It's the U.S. government. It's NATO. It's the Ukrainians or, you know, Germans or these people, the Europeans who are sending weapons over to Ukraine right now, and we're going to get into the potential consequences for sending these weapons over there. He addresses that coming up here in the next section here. So about the so-called special operation in Ukraine.
I love that they're calling it that because they probably didn't learn that from the United States, but we can very easily say they learned that nonsense from the United States.
Don't call it a war.
Yeah, because they never called the Afghanistan war a war.
Right.
Or was it Iraq? Or was it Korea? Or whatever one. Going all the way back you know, to the end of World War II.
The conflict.
Yeah, the United States, as far as I'm aware, has not actually fought a war anywhere since World War II.
Not officially.
It's all.
They certainly haven't declared one.
It's all, and because declaring war is passé. If you declare war, then you have a goal, and you can and you can achieve.
You'd have to have
that
like
goal.
An ending.
Yes, like
some sort of requirement, right?
That's why the whole war declaration thing went away, and it's not an accident that endless war came about once people stopped declaring wars. Once the United States stopped. Because it's a very clear endpoint. We're declaring war. Okay, victory is achieved when we destroy the enemy or when we destroy the enemy government. If you don't have a war, you never actually have a victory.
So he said that the Western elites are seeking to inflict a strategic defeat on Russia and, quote, are planning to turn a local conflict into a phase of global confrontation and that Moscow will react accordingly. The West cannot but realize that it, quote, is impossible to defeat Russia on the battlefield, said Putin. He warned that weapon supplies to Kyiv will trigger consequences. Quote, the longer the range of the Western systems being brought to Ukraine, the farther away from our borders we'll be forced to push the threat, he said.
I mean, from a logical perspective, that makes sense. If you put, you know, if you're putting weapons into Ukraine that have a range of 1,000 miles, then they have to push 1,000 miles away from Moscow in order to keep you from being able to strike Moscow.
Right.
That's silly. I mean, intercontinental ballistic missiles are a thing, and so the United States doesn't need weapons in Ukraine in order to attack Russia.
They don't, but they are insisting on continuing to send billions and billions, and was it over $110 billion so far from the U.S. alone? That doesn't, I don't think, include the actual weapons and tanks and weapon systems and things like that.
And I don't want to discount these things, right? If my neighbors were sitting over there, you know, pointing cannons and tanks and guns all at my house, I'd be a little anxious, too, even if I was like, hey, guys, we're friends over here, right? We're not enemies. I mean, they just keep amassing weapons out there. I'm like, all right, I may have to do something about this, right? Like, put your guns back a bit or whatever. But the missiles, ever since I was in like high school, this has been a thing. This meme has been floating around, not necessarily on the internet, just in general. Of, look how crazy Russia is putting their country around while it, where it's surrounded by all of our military bases. And it's just the United States has surrounded Russia with military bases and with missile silos. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And then the United States Americans, you mentioned that we didn't do this, certainly not, but because of this conceit that is democracy, the average person thinks, oh, this is my government, this is me, I'm doing this. So they think I did encircle Russia with a bunch of missiles and ICBMs and nuclear weapons. And
as though it's totally fine.
Yeah. And even if that was you, if it was you who did it, then stop doing it and withdraw those weapons. Nothing is gained by pointing guns at people.
Yeah, that could be the direction they went, but they're not going in that direction. In fact, Joe Biden just apparently showed up there within the last 48 hours and met with Zelensky. And who knows what that was about? You know, who knows what conversations. A great meme that came out of it showing Joe Biden with like a briefcase, a huge suitcase just burgeoning full of cash, walking out of Ukraine.
I don't think Biden wants the money, right?
It's a power thing.
It is. And it's for Lockheed Martin and the military industrial complex in the United States. They need war, right? Their product is bombs and weapons and crap.
Right.
Those things have to get used or they just sit there forever like the nuclear weapons did. That's why the United States doesn't want to continue building nuclear weapons. It doesn't benefit the military industrial complex. That's why these nuclear proliferation treaties even exist. And this isn't a proliferation treaty, but it's a nuclear treaty to prevent the development and testing of more nuclear weapons. And it's because the military industrial complex can't continually drop those and build new ones as a way of making money off of the American taxpayer, because you annihilate the entire planet if you do that.
Right.
So they don't want nuclear weapons. But they do want weapons, and they do want to use them. That way they have to replace them, and it creates this huge cycle of turning blood into money, and the American empire is sustained by it.
Yeah, and so it's interesting what Putin is saying here. You know, like, look, if you keep building up the weapons that can reach further and further into Russia, we are going to have to do something about that. He's like, y'all didn't have that before, but now you're going to have them now. So, you know, we would have been okay with just defending the Donbass, but now we may have to take more land. They may push into Kyiv as a result of this.
And I hate that Putin even sounds reasonable, but when I think about this as a perspective of someone who, like, there's property here, and I live on it here in Keene, and my neighbors are, their guns are too obvious, right? Mm-hmm. But if they had, you know, some sort of melee weapon that was reaching over the fence and was positioned to start smacking me down in my own backyard, at a certain point, I'd say, hey, guys, I don't think it's a coincidence that you have all of these things pointed at me here, and you continue putting more weapons here that are pointed at me, and you say it's for defense, yet they're reaching into my yard, and they're prepared to attack me in my yard.
Yep.
I don't know how you call that defense. Oh, at a certain point, defense is an aggressive action, I think.
Yeah, and Russia is now saying the eastern part of Ukraine is their yard. It's Russia. The Donbass, they're saying, is Russia. They're saying the people voted again last year for this. Anyway, let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. We got Ridley on the line here. Dave Ridley calling us from Colorado, I think. Go ahead, Ridley. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but LibertyBlock.com is reporting that, I guess, a Free Stater senator, I didn't even know we had one, Keith Murphy, Free State Project member, is a senator.
Correct.
Now.
First ever Free Stater state senator. That happened in November. Yeah, it's a big milestone for the Free State Project.
And it happened, but they're reporting that, the way I heard about it, because they're reporting that he is doing something interesting, and that is he's trying to correct a sort of an innocent until proven guilty thing that the police do. So he and a few other Republican senators and or state reps have proposed this thing called Senate Bill 246. And the idea is to, like, make it so they can't ruin your reputation just because you're a suspect or you're accused of a crime.
How would that be?
So the meat of the bill is that it restricts their use of your mugshot, right? But once you've been arrested, they don't get to throw your mugshot around and say, we have the criminal, you know. It's just to be used for investigative purposes, and they're not supposed to use it like on social media and stuff like that.
I mean, I suppose that's good, but I don't think it's going to do a whole lot for the cause of liberty. And I don't think, I mean, just about everyone I know, not even libertarians, but just about everyone I've ever met in my life has been arrested at some point. And the fact that they have a mugshot doesn't really seem to bother anyone in one way or the other. There are entire catalogs, especially in Mississippi, that were just collections of people's mugshots and what they were arrested for. And it was entertaining to look at and say, hey, I knew that person.
Well, from a freedom of speech and freedom of the media perspective, I have to object to this. If there's somebody who's been arrested for something as a member of the media, if I'm trying to report on that arrest, I want to be able to get all the information I can. I should be able to get the information about the arrest, who the arresting officer was, who, you know, what are the details of the situation, and I should be able to get a copy of that mugshot. I don't think this is going to hold up.
Yeah, good point. The actual wording is, it says, quote, post-arrest photographs of arrested persons taken by a law enforcement officer shall be considered records compiled for investigatory purposes and shall not be considered governmental records subject to disclosure, unquote.
Oh, so no, this is going to give the government more secrecy. This is going to allow them to take pictures that are no longer official, subject to being official public record, and they're just, yeah, we can't disclose that. That's an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're only going to be restricting the pictures, but not the information. So I'm not really sure how much good this is going to do. I don't know why having a mugshot out there or not is going to really make a difference when the person's name and accusations against them are still going to be available.
Hopefully Alu of Liberty Block is out there listening and he can call in and explain.
Yeah, that would be nice, because this is confusing to me. It seems like this is not in any way pro-liberty at all. This is, like you said, Arya, going to grant more secrecy to the police.
Yeah, the freedom of media perspective that you pointed out, that immediately says how I wouldn't have thought about that, but that sets off alarms. But then the way that it's worded, it just allows them to have more secrecy, and it doesn't sound pro-liberty at all.
As with so many other things, it, my concern with it is that it's just yet another sort of branch hacking sort of bill in a sense. There's just so many bills that are just, they have such a small effect. There are a thousand hacking at the branches for every one striking at the root. And Matt Santamestas's bill is so much more interesting, where it just shuts down the whole war on drugs and goes kind of to the root of the problem.
Yeah, that's what we need more of. Unfortunately, a lot of these politicians, they're just not willing to play with their quote-unquote political capital, and they're just too afraid to take a principled stand, unfortunately.
Yeah, but that's not Matt Santamestas, man. That dude is hardcore.
Yeah, he's ballsy. Super ballsy.
It's an honor to know him, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, thanks for bringing it to our attention. Certainly, if Alu's out there, I'm sure he'll weigh in on this, why he thinks it's a good idea. But I appreciate hearing from you tonight. I mean, the cops are going to, even if they can't release your photograph, they're still going to put a press release out there announcing, you know, who you are and what you've been accused of. And that's what the media is going to run with. And they'll just dig up another file photo on you, you know? They'll find something else.
And having had file photos, you don't want that.
I mean, usually mugshots don't look great either. But anyway, the number here is 603-283-6160. You can join the show. We certainly don't want them to lock all of it out.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. The Environmental Protection Agency is ordering Norfolk Southern Railroad to pay for all cleanup associated with a train derailment earlier this month in East Palestine, Ohio.
Norfolk Southern will clean up all contamination in soil and water and safely transport that contamination to the appropriate location.
EPA Administrator Michael Regan promised the railroad would be held responsible. SpaceX is preparing for a launch that will send four people to the International Space Station. The Crew 6 mission set to blast off early Sunday morning from Cape Canaveral. On board will be two NASA astronauts, a Russian cosmonaut, and a long-duration astronaut from the United Arab Emirates. Wall Street dropped like a rock today, the last batch of retail earnings causing stocks to tumble as they renewed concerns about the economy. The Dow fell 697 points, the S&P 500 down 82, the NASDAQ fell 295. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open here, and you can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. Ian and Aria here tonight. The number is 603-283-6160. We talked earlier about the Russian withdrawal, temporarily it sounds like, from this nuclear proliferation treaty. If you want to weigh in on that, of course you can bring that up or whatever is on your mind. The Project Veritas drama is looking really ugly. This was a story we had last night, but we didn't have a chance to talk about, and maybe we'll get into that as well. Plus, Greater Idaho seems to be moving forward. We'll explain what that is. It's kind of like a secession movement in a way. But first, we're going to Ricky in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Good evening, Sister Aria.
What's on your mind?
Well, the stars and stripes. I'm referring to the flag of the United States of America. That would be the Union. Well, what it comes down to is this. I get this. This comes from the topic the other night. And I sit here and I look at myself from little on up, starting at the age of, say, six, I would say. When it comes to stars and stripes, we'll start there. When it comes down to first thing, one thing I never did and would not do, because by the time I was 6 years old, I already realized this, I had immense dislike and hatred for what the Stars and Stripes represented as a result of everything that happened as a result of the Civil War. Now, pre-war, I probably would have had a different point of view on that. But also, I refused to honor the Star-Spangled Banner. I've never owned an American flag. I've never bought anything with American flag on it. I've never wore anything with American flag. This has been a problem throughout my whole life as far as my point of view. I don't have an issue with it, but this is the reality. Now, on the other hand, the other side of the coin, when I was a little kid, I'll tell you what I did have. On my wall, I had a Confederate flag. This is a little kid, 6, 7 years old, you know?
And on where did you get that? Did your parents buy it for you?
It was a weird one. I don't know where I got it. It was funny because it was actually made of like a plastic material, like a fibrous kind of thing.
Pennsylvania was not part of the Confederacy, right?
Almost was in 1863, though, by the way.
I'm curious what allegiance, if any, or you had to the Confederacy or to the ideas of the Confederacy.
Well, I'm getting into that. And when I was a little kid, I had on my door the General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard. I had a Confederate flag on. I played with little toy soldiers, you know, little Confederate soldiers or muskets and, you know, cannons, balls and stuff like that. You know, and
where's all this going, Ricky? You're just kind of telling us your history of having the Confederate flag. I mean, what's your point?
Well, here's my point. See, when I did it at an early age, one, it was my own early reading when it came down to it, because I was very big into Jefferson. And when you start with Jefferson, it doesn't take much to connect the dots when it comes to the Civil War. And you connect the two together.
And it does take a bit, because Jefferson predated the Civil War by almost 50 years, right?
More than that.
Oh, it was almost like 75 years.
Yeah, so how does the Civil War tie to Jefferson? Anyway, never mind. I don't care. I don't want the history lesson.
Okay,
disregard the question.
Very simple. My point is very simple. You know, I realized very quickly how things have not only changed, but also how the government had changed. We, as a result of the war, have a Hamiltonian government. That's how it connects. And for me, it represents everything that's wrong. And how, as a Pennsylvanian, this connects is very simple. When I was young, I didn't have much resources. I had the library, I had TV, and I had other adults. Well, in this issue, it was other adults, older people, in the library. And at a very early age, all these things I realized, and I've come to the conclusion that probably from an early age, from that point onward, I'd be essentially a throwback, including to this day, maybe some new elements thrown in, but I'd be basically a Confederate Democrat. I use old school Democrat, but in reality, I'm a Confederate Democrat.
Okay. Was that the whole point of your call, was to say that you don't like the United States flag and you're a Confederate Democrat?
Well, I think that's very important considering the issue with states' rights these days. And that was the whole
thing. Listen, Ricky, I'm with you as far as, like, I really don't have any love for the whole idea of the United States. So certainly I have no love for its flag, which is essentially, you know, a battle flag, right? That's all. It just represents this warmongering state. It doesn't engender any kind of warm fuzzies with me, but it certainly does for a lot of the American people. Whether that's right or wrong, you know, I would say it's you know, unfortunate, because they've essentially been indoctrinated. And thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. They've been indoctrinated by the government school system that they were forced to go to, and then forced to worship, like, as an icon, worship this flag.
It's idolatry.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And most Christians are completely unaware of this. You know, they say it's wrong to be idolatrous.
Right.
You know,
but then they do it.
And then they do it every single day in the government schools, and whenever there's, you know, a national anthem at a football or a baseball game or something like that, they're all about the idolatry of the American flag. It doesn't matter the history of the flag. We can point out the history of the Pledge of Allegiance written by an actual socialist in the late 1800s.
Of course, we
can point out the original salute to the flag, which was the fascist salute, which became the Nazi salute, with a hand to the heart and then straight out. There's photographs of that.
Yeah, but none of that matters to them, because it's not about any of that, right? You can point out all the contradictions in the Bible you want to the average Christian, and it's not going to affect them at all. You can point out anything you want to people, they don't really care, because I realized this when I was watching the secession video, the secession episode of the Free State thing at NBC Boston.
NBC Boston,
yes,
yeah.
Thank you. Where Brody Deshaies, the state rep who was most adamant against CACR 32, that was the constitutional amendment to allow the people of New Hampshire to vote on the idea of peaceably seceding from the United States. He spoke with such passion, fiery passion.
At the hearing?
Yeah, yeah. At the actual voting of the bill. He didn't say this in a hearing.
Got it.
About how just disgraceful and disgusting it was that people were even considering erasing one of those stars from that flag. And just the importance of this stupid symbol to him was just, I was doing my makeup as I was watching this and just stunned by, this dude really cares about this stupid thing.
Sure.
Like this is a piece of art, pretty boring piece of art, and nothing more. But to this guy, he would lay down his life for that.
A lot of people would. Yeah. It has a lot of meaning to people.
Not even to save anything or to do anything good for anyone, just to keep one of those stupid stars from being erased from it, he would have given his life. And I'm convinced he probably still would. To be clear, that's not obviously a threat on his life. Obviously, it's not.
I would not bet on him giving his life for it. He's a politician. Dishonest.
I don't know, man. He's
pandering to it, that's all.
I think most people would be willing if they're... Okay, maybe not give their lives, because I think more people are cowardly than that.
They get really emotional about it, though, and they will. And some people will start a fight over it. I mean, if you, for instance, were to go in public and burn an American flag, there's a good chance somebody's going to come up and attack you over it.
I've done that a couple of times.
Have you really?
Yeah. Not in a very long time, but it's always been recognized as an expression of freedom of speech. I did it a few times in the South.
That won't stop people from attacking you over it, even though it is an expression of free speech.
They had other reasons for which they would have attacked me, certainly. Mm-hmm. But that was just, that's Aria being Aria. I wasn't called Aria then, but no one was surprised by my antics or shenanigans. So it was a small town about the size of Keene, so I knew everyone and everyone knew me, so no one was really surprised by it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. It did happen years ago here in Keene. A guy named Anarcho Jesse did a public flag burning, and I kind of liked how he handled it because he burned three flags instead of just the U.S. flag. He burned the U.N. flag, a U.S. flag, and a New Hampshire flag, so sort of like all levels of statism. I thought that
was nice.
I thought it was a nice twist to it. And
is there a Keene flag that we can also burn?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Keene does have a symbol or whatever, a seal, but I don't know if it's appeared on a flag. But he did that, and a lot of us were predicting dire consequences for him, right? Because, you know, you never know what kind of Looney Tunes nut job in downtown Keene is going to decide to just come on up and start something, whether it's because they're high on drugs or drunk or just an angry person.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, there's always that possibility. Thankfully, that didn't happen. I don't even think there was really any hecklers or anything like that that were there for it. So it was pretty unremarkable as far as the turnout, as far as the opposition was concerned. But you never really know, because people get really emotional about it. I mean, they've been so
Then let them attack their gam-gam because she's wiping her potato salad off with an American flag napkin or whatever.
Who? Gam-gam? Is that like grandma or something?
Okay. Basically. But, I mean, you have these things at 4th of July gatherings. You have American flag paper plates and napkins. And
yeah.
According to the actual...
The flag code.
Yeah, according to the flag code, you know, that's just as bad. And you have American flag underwear and all this other stuff. Okay, so you have the American flag on your T-shirt. Do you have to burn that T-shirt when it's old and worn out, or can you just throw it in the trash? At what point is the special magic piece of cloth... being disgraced? I would suggest that around the time your 80-year-old grandmother's wiping potato salad off her mouth onto it, all bets are off, and there's nothing I can do to that flag that is more disrespectful. But why would you have respect for the flag in the first place? We didn't touch on this last night, just the insanity of the Pledge of Allegiance. It opens with, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Why are you pledging allegiance to a piece of cloth, people? What? I don't understand.
Because of, in their mind, what it stands for. It stands for the U.S. government, which, of course, we all know is evil and tyrannical and just absolutely full of lying scum, but yet people still somehow separate the lying scum, even though they know that every time somebody runs for office, they're a lying piece of garbage. that, you know, somehow people separate that from the concept of freedom, which they believe this represents.
And that's fine. If I was going to take a pledge to something, I think I would probably be willing to take a pledge to the principles of freedom.
Sure.
In which case, do that. Mm-hmm. I pledge allegiance to the principles of freedom.
Indeed.
And then you're done.
That's it.
There's no need to put these walls between you and freedom that is the United States of America that represents freedom. And the flag represents the United States of America. And therefore, if you pledge allegiance to the flag, then you pledge allegiance to the United States of America. And you therefore pledge allegiance to freedom. Skip all that crap and just pledge allegiance to freedom if that's what you want to do.
But it's important for, I agree with you, but for them, the statists, for the people that are running the United States scam, it's very important to have the United States
yes.
in there because they want the U.S. to represent things that it has absolutely no business representing. There's no evidence whatsoever that the United States federal government gives one damn about your freedom.
No, there's every reason to suggest that it doesn't care about our freedom.
They hate you. They, whoever you are, they want you to be enslaved to them. They want you to use their crap can fiat money system where they can literally rob you without ever having to tax you. They want you to obey all their ordinances and rules and codes and statutes and all of the stuff they want to shove down your throat that you, of course, never had a chance to read because you couldn't possibly read it all, but yet they will hold you responsible to it anyway. It doesn't matter because they want to completely rule you.
Yeah, I've never read a single law, I don't believe, or a single...
I've read the ones involved in the Crypto 6 case.
Okay, fair enough. I've read those. But prior to the Crypto 6, but I hadn't read them prior to being arrested, right? It's insane that we live in this world where I can be arrested for laws that... Okay, if the government wants to have these laws and punish people for the, you know, breaking them, then you have to first teach people what those laws are. That's rule number one. Why is a society based on that simple idea that you can't enforce a law that you haven't taught someone exists?
Boy, that'd be really, really great. But that's, of course, why the whole ignorance of the law line that everybody loves to trot out actually was in reference to natural law, where you could not claim to be ignorant of the simple laws of thou shalt do no harm. You could
right.
not claim ignorance to that. You sure
Which
as hell should
I'm fine
be able to,
with.
Yeah, you sure as hell should be able to claim ignorance to IRS code 759.37G or whatever the hell, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Lot, you know, colon.
And you know, a lot of this is common sense, or at least it's sensible and reasonable. And I'm not saying we need to have we need to strike all the laws that are sensible. I think we should, but that let's deal with that later. We can start by just having this requirement that if the U.S. government or at any level of government wants to enforce a law, then they have to teach people the existence of that law. They can't say, oh, no, it's your responsibility to find out what the law is. No, no, dude, that's not the way it works. You're the one telling people what they can and can't do. You have to tell them what they can and can't do. You can't just announce it and hope they find out.
If you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. So since we were talking about the United States and independence, these ideas, I do want to give a little bit of an update on the Greater Idaho movement. According to KATU.com, ABC News out west, Portland, Oregon, House members in the Idaho legislature have now voted in favor of the Greater Idaho movement this past week.
Which body... Did it specify?
Idaho's legislature, House members, so
okay.
the House of Representatives. It means that the Idaho reps would like to begin talks about relocating the Oregon-Idaho border, which is something that many people in eastern Oregon have actually been waiting for. The Greater Idaho Movement proposes that nearly everything east of the Cascades, except Bend, becomes part of Idaho. Currently, there are 11 Oregon counties supporting the move. So when we last talked about this, I think it was after the election in 2022, because some of the counties in eastern Oregon that hadn't yet voted on this did vote. So
okay.
there are actually, so like, there's movement on both sides on this. It's the counties that are the east side of Oregon. They have put on, I believe, ballots in the counties of each county individually as to whether or not they would like to investigate moving to Idaho. I don't think the ballot measures have been specifically, we are leaving. I think it's like,
right.
we're looking into leaving kind of ballot questions. And so that's where they're at right now. There's several counties east in East Oregon, a bunch, let's say 11 here, that have made votes in this direction. Like, we want to look into this. We're serious about it. We're ordering our county, you know, whatever they're called, selectmen or representatives or, you know, city councilors, county councilors to look into this. And so on the other side of it now, you've got the Idaho State House that apparently also voted in favor of moving this thing forward.
I can't imagine that the state that's losing counties here is going to, you know, be okay with this.
I think there's an argument as to why, and I don't have the Greater Idaho website pulled up the last time we talked about it. I did, and so as I recall, the argument is basically that the eastern counties in Oregon are conservatives, okay? So the western counties, the ones, you know, near the coast, Portland especially, more likely to be liberal.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that if you separate out the conservative counties from Oregon, Oregon will become more of a liberal state than it already is because they won't have to be fighting with the conservatives anymore. Those people will be gone.
Right, but it cuts away at the power structure of the power-hungry tyrants in the Idaho State House, or the Oregon State House, rather.
Well, I get what you're saying.
Because they have fewer people to roll over and fewer tax money and...
That's true. I don't know what the eastern portion of Oregon represents as far as the tax money. There's certainly nowhere near as many people that live out there. I mean, it's basically the woods, right? Compared
That's usually the case with conservatives versus liberal territories.
So I think, and again, it would be interesting to see the numbers, but I suspect it would still be the bulk of the revenue is still coming from those western counties. So, yes, you're right. They wouldn't be able to lord power over the eastern counties anymore, so they would lose that. But at the same time, they would be able to get away with even more, like, liberal, socialist kind of programs if they didn't have to constantly be fighting with the people from eastern Oregon. So there's an argument for this, whether it will, you know...
Well, I'm all for it either way. I mean, if that's what the people want to do, then let them do it, right?
Yeah.
It sort of sets a... It doesn't set a precedent as far as secession from the federal government, but
no,
it
has nothing to do with that.
No, but it does set some sort of precedent about separating from one state.
Correct.
And I think that's beneficial.
Yeah, if it gets a conversation started, then I think it's great. I believe that it would require some sort of federal okay, meaning that if both houses or if both legislatures in both states say, this is fine, we're, you know, go ahead, say goodbye, Eastern Oregon, you're now part of Idaho, we all agree. If all of the, you know, sides agree, I think it still has to go to the federal government for some sort of sign-off on the actual moving of the state borders.
And all of this is crazy because in realistic terms, nothing anywhere is actually changing. Some lines on a map would change, and that's effectively it.
That's it.
Yeah, no one's day-to-day life would change. They probably wouldn't even get a new zip code. They would change the state they're putting on their mail. But that's it. That would be a bureaucratic nightmare, though, to just have all of these places suddenly changing from Oregon to Idaho as far as their addresses go. But even then, like, nothing's actually changing. It shouldn't be an issue for anyone. If these people want to do that, then they should be allowed to do it.
The website, by the way, for those that are interested, if you're, you know, up in that area, greateridaho.org, or you just want to, you know, show your support for them in some way, once again, it's greateridaho.org. The downside for people in eastern Oregon, of course, is they will lose some of the, you know, the things that have happened in Oregon that haven't happened in Idaho, like, for instance, drug decriminalization. That will all the drugs that were decriminalized.
Yeah, but they probably don't want that.
They probably don't. They probably don't. But that is something that would change. They wouldn't have legal marijuana anymore. I don't think that there is any recreational in Idaho. I could be wrong about that. But they definitely wouldn't have drug decrim. Now, from what I actually heard recently, I was actually surprised. There was a gentleman who was visiting from Oregon, and he claims, and again, I don't know if this is true, but because I asked him, I was like, well, how's the drug decrim going? Expecting the answer was going to be, yeah, everything's fine. But he actually made it sound like it's crazy. He made it sound like that there's, like, meth head tweakers in the streets just doing all kinds of crime and getting away with it.
But that would have been the case before. And if they're doing crimes, then that's a failure of the police, right?
Yeah, I guess. He claimed that the police have a policy of not arresting someone for up to 2 pounds of methamphetamine, which I just found to be absolutely unbelievable.
I mean, I'm good with that, but if they're out there robbing people or committing other crimes while on meth, and you don't arrest them for possessing the meth. You don't do anything about the meth. You do something about their actions, their illegal actions.
It's just one man's opinion. I don't know what the truth actually is.
It would be unlikely. It would be unlike the results that we've seen everywhere else in the world where there has been decriminalization. I suspect this person is seeing what they want to see.
Yeah, it seemed unbelievable to me. But, again, just one guy's perspective. If you're out there in Oregon and you can comment a little further, because, you know, we saw what happened in Portugal where it was a matter of a short period of time where fewer overdoses were happening. People were getting treatment. They were getting help for their addictions. And it was like a total turnaround in how things went in Portugal. And it's been that way for like 20 years now. So that was what, of course, inspired the changes in Oregon. And I don't think it's been just over a year at this point in Oregon since this like went into play. It might have been February of 2021 or something like that. Or maybe it's been 2 years now. Anyway, it's to the time where we should start to get some statistics. There should be some numbers coming out of Oregon looking at this and looking at whether or not it's been effective. And I just wanted to relate that because that's something I heard.
And again, I mean, all evidence that we've seen up to this point has been that if you decriminalize drugs and you stop arresting people, you stop ruining people's lives, then everything sort of gets better. Most things improve at least to a degree. They don't get worse.
If you want to join the show, the number here is 603-283-6160. Coming up, Aria, you've got this story. We've teased it for a couple days now. It's about Chase Bank, one of the biggest big banks.
I've never used them, but I've heard negative things.
You know, like any old bank, they're good until they're bad, and they usually go bad at some point.
Well, none of them are good until they're bad. They ignore you unless you end up on the radar.
Yeah. Just leave me alone.
I guess that is good, right? I mean, that's what I want a financial institution to do, is leave me the hell alone.
All right, so more coming up here. Hour number two is on the way. If you want to weigh in on the greater Idaho movement, especially if you're up there in Oregon or Idaho and you want to share your thoughts, because maybe there are people in Idaho that don't want this to happen. I don't know who they would be, but you're welcome to join us. Hour number two coming up, the number 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.